Psalm 11 says, when the foundations are destroyed, what will the righteous do? Friends, it's time to rebuild, relay those foundations.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, it's touching. It's a touching account. The bride was beaming. Seattle, just this past Sunday. Yeah, beaming bride. Gave a vow of love. Love that she said will never die. She exchanged wedding vows with a warehouse in Seattle. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. We're going to talk about foundations, foundations about God, foundations about his creation, foundations about male, female. My joy to be here with you 5 days a week as a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. If you'd like to weigh in, ask me a question, or differ with me, challenge anything I have to say, here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. I received an email from someone on our ministry team earlier today, and it said to me, thank you for being a voice for all of us. Thank you for being a voice for all of us. By God's grace, that's what I'm doing as I talk to you on the air. By God's grace and purpose, I'm seeking to be a voice for all of you, for all of us. Not the only voice, but a voice for specific causes, a voice to stand in a certain way in the body and speak to the body and speak to the world. I'll tell you more about that crazy, outrageous story I was reading to you a moment ago. Yeah, true story about a woman taking marriage vows with a warehouse. Okay, but the big issue before us is the lack of God in terms of our consciousness, in terms of the consciousness of our society, the lack of God in our lives and in our nation, to the extent that we program him out. Oh, he remains God, he remains king, and by his spirit he continues to work in many ways. I'm talking about our consciousness, our actions, to the extent that we say no to him or that we reject that he has a role in our society, in our lives, that we take away the foundations, everything else is up for grabs. Got some interesting thoughts about some emails I received. I want to tell you about them because I'm quite sure some of them are completely bogus, written by people to try to convey a certain image when in point of fact, they are coming from the exact opposite perspective. In other words, being dishonest, and some of them being dishonest in the name of doing God's work, speaking for him. I want to address some of that as well. 866-34-TRUTH. What is the most fundamental foundation of all foundations? What is the most fundamental truth of all truths? Is it not the existence of God? Is it not that there is one eternal, uncaused cause of everything else, the one that created? I don't mean he is the cause of evil. I mean he is the first cause, that he is uncreated, that he establishes the universe. He creates the universe. Everything that exists exists because he is the creator in terms of material things. All beings that exist exist only because he is the creator. It's the foundation of all foundations. And many have argued that the great problems that America, Europe face because of the secularizing of our culture. Oh, I've got a great encouraging report to share with you as well.
fire we
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, is this cool or what? I just had an illustration based on a cartoon that I saw on a pro-life Facebook page. Some very provocative, powerful little cartoons, little illustrations. One just popped in my mind, and I was going to share it with you. I thought I'll share it, come back on from the break and share it. I just noticed someone posted something on my personal Facebook page, which has been filled for a long time. That's where we have our ministry page, Ask Dr. Brown, on Facebook. So amazingly, I look on Facebook and that very cartoon, that very illustration was posted. I mean, I'm talking about the same second. No, I didn't get it from there. I had it in my head to say it. And then I went and looked in Facebook. Someone just posted something. There it was. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online askdrbrown.org. Foundations. I said the most fundamental problem in America is the secularizing of our society. I am not saying that our goal is that we take over and make everyone believe what we believe, and if they don't go to church on Sunday, they get flogged in the public square. Quite the contrary. And as someone who is Jewish, a Jewish follower of Jesus, I'm very sensitive to religious authoritarianism that squeezes out other groups and that forces things upon others. What I'm saying is that to the extent a society cuts God out, to the extent we as believers do, to the extent we make this distinction, well, that's just the secular and God has no place in it, it brings destruction on everything because God is the foundation of life. God is the foundation of moral values. God is the foundation of truth. So here's the little cartoon, and it says this. There's someone shaking their fist, railing. And Cliff, if you're listening, just post this as well on the Ask Dr. Brown Facebook page. If you are a loving and merciful God, why didn't you send someone to cure cancer or find leaders to govern us? What's your problem, God? And then a voice from the clouds, I did. You aborted them. Oh, it's in microcosm a picture of what we are talking about here. All right, I'm going to share a neat story, an encouraging story with you. One of the things that I have personally believed is that as much as the church tends to be asleep on so many key moral, cultural issues. Believe it or not, I still have people that are regulars on my Facebook page or ministry page, and they will say, like, why are you making an issue out of homosexuality? Who are they hurting? What, come again? Well, you know, we all have sin issues. Like, okay, understand. Sorry for the fact the Lord spoke to me. Reach out, resist. Reach out to the people with compassion. Resist the agenda with courage. Like, okay, well, we've got 5 days of programming a week. One day we devote Wednesday to the world, to moral cultural issues, right? And sometimes we're talking about other things. I've got a whole other bunch of other things to talk about. It's like, are you not aware that there's an activist agenda that's threatening our religious freedoms and our freedoms of speech and our freedom of conscience that is restructuring society? Are you not aware of that? So when you sound the alarm, people say, well, you shut the alarm off. It still boggles the mind. But one of my hopes, I should even say expectations, is that as things continue to go too far, people will finally wake up. As there's more and more discrimination against us, more and more bullying against us. And I hate to use the bullying word because I'm a child of God. If God's for you, who can be against you? So you could have 10 million people coming against you and all the press and the media coming against you and the White House coming against you and the government coming against you and every military in the world coming against you. And if God's for you, in a sense, we're not being bullied. But in another real sense, it is a bullying. It is an intimidation. It is an intolerance. And it's basically saying you have no right to your views. You have no right to your convictions. You have no right to your beliefs. You have no right to your moral values because we have judged you. And that's how we're going to be. The ones who were oppressed when they come out become the worst oppressors of all. Think of Animal Farm. It's just the way it happens historically. It's part of human nature. Happens with many different groups. The ones that were beaten down, kept down, oppressed, misunderstood, rejected for whatever reason, when they come into power, instead of learning from what happened to them, they do what was done to them, except much more harshly. Watch and see. So one of my expectations and hopes is that as things continue to degenerate, as freedoms continue to be eroded, that God's people and even the society at large would finally wake up. It's the reason I wrote A Queer Thing Happened to America, to help awaken the conscience of the nation. That being said, the concern is by that time it might be too late. By that time, the damage would have been so severe that it could have terribly affected a whole generation. 866-34-TRUTH. Nonetheless, I have a good report to give you in the midst of this. And I shouldn't even say nonetheless. It illustrates the point that I'm making. Julia Ward is a woman, as I understand, married to a pastor. She and her husband in ministry. She was an older student in the counseling program. In other words, not some 20-year-old or 18-year-old college student. She was an older, mature woman in a counseling program in the university, Eastern Michigan University. And I was told by an attorney involved that she got into the counseling program because she wanted to help her husband in ministry. And I write about this in A Queer Thing Happened to America, the chapter Big Brother is Watching and He Really Is Gay. What happened is this. She was asked to counsel homosexual in a homosexual relationship and was told that she would need to affirm the relationship. So she, as many other counselors do, when they feel that they are not the best one to counsel, I'll give you a perfectly neutral illustration. You went through a terrible loss. Your spouse died of cancer. It's eating away at you. You're struggling with your own depression and pain over this, and you're a professional counselor. And someone comes to you for grief counseling, and you talk to your colleague and say, you know, I'm not in the best position to help this person right now. I'm hurting myself. I can help people in 100 other ways, but I'm hurting myself there. I'm going to refer that one to you. Makes sense. You're a professional counselor. You realize a lack or an issue there. Maybe there was a history in your family. Maybe you're an African-American and your family was subject to real bigotry and racism. And you watched it really destroy your parents and hurt their reputation because they were attacked and so on. And someone comes to you that, you know, used to be in the Ku Klux Klan and they've got some anger issues, and you think, you know, I'm not the best one to handle that. Okay? That's understandable in counseling. Obviously, maturity would say you handle anything, but there may be cases where you say, you know, I'm not the best one to do it. So she, Julia Ward, goes to her oversight and says to them, I'm happy to counsel the person, but I can't affirm the homosexual relationship. What should I do? And the professor said, oh, we just refer that to someone else. Right, correct, exactly. Oh, that was not satisfactory. She said, I explained that I was a Christian and that I could not endorse homosexual behavior. Following a formal review hearing, Eastern Michigan University sent Ward a letter dismissing her from the school's graduate program. And according to Alliance Defense Fund legal counsel Jeremy Tedesco, who argued Ward's case last October, quote, rather than allow Julia to refer a potential client to another qualified counselor, a common professional practice to best serve clients, EMU attacked and questioned Julia's religious beliefs and ultimately expelled her from the program because of them. She was subject to kind of an inquisition type hearing where her beliefs were mocked. I mean, could you imagine if this was someone who was in favor of same-sex marriage in a class? And then ends up getting bounced out for their views because, let's say, it's not what the state allows and or it's contrary to values of someone in the school. And then this person, say a lesbian, gets subject to an inquisition kind of hearing. Can you imagine the outrage nationally over something like that? So she's subject to this inquisition type hearing. She's kicked out of the program. It goes to the court, and the court says, yep, right for her to be kicked out. Well, it went to the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, and they absolutely ripped the decision. They sided with Ward, quote, in a sternly worded decision, reading from a report on the Right Scoop. In a sternly worded decision being hailed by Christian groups as a victory for free speech and religious freedom, quote, a reasonable jury could conclude that Ward's professors rejected her from the counseling program because of hostility toward her speech and faith. A university cannot compel a student to alter or violate her belief systems as the price for obtaining a degree. Tolerance is a two-way street. Come on. Tolerance is a two-way street. Good for the court. They sent it back to the lower court and said, fix this. Fix this. But how do we even get there? Secularization of our society, absence of God, absence of moral spiritual foundations. Chaos ensues.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I said I would finish reading this story, so let me do this. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I would love to hear from you, honestly. I would love to hear from you, honestly. I would love to hear from you, honestly, and I would honestly love to hear from you. If you take issue with what I'm saying and say, we just don't need to be hearing these things. You should just spend all your time leading people to Jesus. Well, by God's grace, I do spend a lot of time seeking to lead people to the Lord. I'm involved now in a major Jewish outreach project. In fact, please pray. Please pray with me for me. I'm writing what I believe will be the number one outreach tool for our Jewish people that I've ever produced. I'm writing day and night. Forcing myself to go to sleep before 4:30 the other day, 5 in the morning. So please pray for me, even just a few seconds to lift up a prayer. If all you did, I'd feel it. It would make a difference. I've got a very tight deadline to finish, and I need God's grace to carry me through. So thanks for praying. But, you know, on our school or ministry, we're raising up missionaries and sending them out around the world. I'm sharing my faith with individuals. We're covering so many different issues in the course of a show. But did you feel that it's important to address these issues about moral cultural degeneration? Obviously, it's part of the vision of this broadcast, being a voice of moral cultural spiritual revolution. Someone criticized me for addressing these issues on our Facebook page the other day, and someone said, okay, you lead people. He said, just spend time leading people to Jesus. And I said, you know, I dare say, I replied to the person and just pulled anything that was irrelevant. But I wanted the person to get a response from me. I said, you know, I dare say, in effect, that I've helped raise up, send out more missionaries than you have, and helped raise up, send out more church planters than you have, and helped lead more people to the Lord than you have, if that's your criticism. But the question is, as someone else asked, you lead people to the Lord, and then what? Then how do we live? How are we supposed to live? The Great Commission is go and make disciples. How do disciples live? 866-34-TRUTH. Okay. Como News, Seattle. A beaming bride, a crumbling warehouse. Babylonia, Ivaz said it's a love that will never die. She exchanged wedding vows with the Seattle building on Sunday. Ivaz and the 10th and Union Warehouse entered into a self-described gay marriage surrounded by friends, singing of love and united against displacement in their neighborhood by means of new development. Ivaz told a crowd of approximately 50 people about her relationship with the building, which is slated to be demolished in a week to make way for a new apartment complex. In December, she said she and 16 Occupy Seattle activists linked arms, occupied the warehouse to fight against gentrification and for community space. Quote, I was transformed by the event. Despite demolition beginning earlier than expected Friday, the ceremony went on without a hitch as Ivaz united a banner on a fence surrounding the warehouse that read, I do. When the minister asked if she would love and cherish and protect this warehouse, Ivaz responded in song, come with me, my love, to the sea of love. I want to tell you how much I love you. Do you remember when we met? I cleaned your rooms and washed your I'm sorry, this woman needs help. And whatever, however serious, she needs more help. cleaned your rooms, washed your floors, built community, opened some doors. You changed my life. I'll never forget the day we met. I'll cherish your community spirit until the day I die, she said, adding her own verses. The ceremony continued with the calm but ecstatic guests singing Lean on Me, laughing at children, blowing bubbles, and enjoying a neighborhood potluck with a vegan cake. Hang on. I don't see that the... Randy, you're a married man. Doesn't the I guess she was the bride. Doesn't the groom have to respond? This is not valid. The warehouse did not respond. How? This is not valid. How can you call it marriage? While the majority of the crowd cheered for the love between the woman and the building, some disagreed with how Ives described it as a gay marriage. With the delicate nature of Washington State and the attempt to legalize gay marriage, I find her saying it's a gay marriage disrespectful. It's not a gay marriage, Lopez and others who held signs reading. Her saying it's a gay marriage sets the community back with Christians and politicians and gives them a chance to say, see, we told you they're going to want to marry everything if we give them the opportunity, said Johnny McCollum Blair. Having compassion against something you love, I understand, but to call it a gay union is irresponsible. Well, to call Matt, don't they get it? Of course. The building creaked. Thanks, Andrew. Very insightful, man. That's why you get to screen the calls. Thanks, buddy. Okay. I understand that there are gay men, lesbian women that love each other and that want to commit their lives to each other. I understand that. All right? The fact is, it's not marriage. No matter what you call it, it's not marriage. It's not marriage any more than a woman marrying a building is marriage. And that's what those who are fighting these issues need to understand. 866-34-TRUTH. Roxanne in Silver Springs, Maryland, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you for having me. I just wanted to comment on the fact that it is absolutely important for us to address these issues as you're addressing today, because, you know, tolerance is a two-way street. And if we have to tolerate, let's say, a gay lifestyle, then they should be able to tolerate our views. And, you made a comment that how do we continue living after we've won souls for Christ? Well, the truth has to be preached. And, yes, part of the truth is that gay marriage is not a marriage. There's no such thing as a gay marriage from the Christian perspective. So I'm very happy that you're speaking openly about it, because oftentimes as Christians we're afraid to, you know, speak up. So I'm very thankful that you are speaking about it.
Well,
and
yes.
I am in agreement with you.
Yes, Roxanne, thank you so much. Yes. I mean, the fact is, one of the foundations God established, he creates humanity, that's the pinnacle of creation, and then male and female he created them. That reflects the image of God. And then male and female come together as one. It's intended biologically. It's intended emotionally. It's intended on every level. And only those two coming together constitute the full image of God. And only those two coming together constitute the only thing that the Bible would ever recognize or God ever intended for marriage. And when what's outrageous all the more is when people will write to me, you know, professing gay Christians and say, look, hold to your beliefs, differ, but keep them to yourself. Well, you're not keeping your beliefs to yourself. You're trying to restructure society. But Roxanne, by God's grace, we will continue to speak, be a voice, and reach out in love to those who differ. Got a break, but thanks for calling with the good word, Roxanne. May the Lord use you in Silver Springs, Maryland. All right, you bet.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Friends, you can help me be a voice for you. And for a lot of us, I don't mind the heat. Oh, yeah, there's pressure, and sometimes it's unpleasant. I don't mind the attacks. I don't mind the heat. God's called me for this. He's built me for this. I thrive being in the hot seat. I thrive being in difficult settings under pressure to stand up as your representative. So help me do that. If you don't yet have a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America and want to give one to a friend, great offer this week. We did it last week. We'll do it again. That book plus my two-hour debate with Rabbi Shmuley, I don't know, $40, $50 value, probably $50 value with postage, $30 postage paid, two-hour DVD debate plus A Queer Thing Happened to America. I'll sign it to whoever you ask. But when you call in, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, remember, for a limited time, every dollar that comes in becomes $1.50. Sow in an additional donation or call to donate. Every 100 becomes 150. Help us meet our obligations and expand into more cities.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. A joy to be with you on The Line of Fire. AskDrBrown.org, click on The Line of Fire. I want to review something I just shared with Roxanne that called from Maryland. Let's just go through foundations. We're talking about rebuilding foundations. We're talking about the lack of moral, spiritual clarity we have is because of foundations being off. I talked about this a little yesterday, but I want to carry it over today. I was talking about deceptions in the church, error in the church. The class I taught, our night school here at Fire that I taught last night, I talked about an emphasis on the love of God without the fear of God. Obviously, to the extent we can know God's love, will be changed. And the church, I would say, has a terrible deficit in understanding God's love. And to the extent our hearts are open to be transformed by God's love, there's no loss in that. It can never be a loss in knowing God's love. In other words, you can never know God's love too much. Okay, that's not possible. Forever, I believe forever, we'll discover more and more of his love. That's who he is, and that's the depth of his love. But if in our teaching and preaching, we present an imbalanced picture of who he is and only emphasize his love without without a proper emphasis on holy reverence, awe, and a healthy fear of the Lord, then we hurt ourselves and we hurt others. When we get the foundations off, things are messed up. I'm not a golfer. I played miniature golf with the family, and my son-in-law beats me all the time. Not some of the grandkids beating me. But anyway, I used to think I was pretty good at miniature golf, but okay, I played that. But I tried one time with a friend that played, or two friends that played a lot of golf. I tried on, it was kind of a makeshift, what do you call it? Just a driving area, you know, just hit the ball as far as you could on somebody's property. And I tried one time. They showed me how to stand and hold the golf club and swing. I've seen professional golf on TV and all that, know what it looks like. But it's the most awkward feeling thing. But I gave it, did I give it a swing? Whoa, I'm talking about, you know, I'm a big guy. I'm 6'3", what, 250, 60 pounds. I'm a big guy. You know, I got some muscle. I gave that thing a swing. Yes. And my colleague Scott took a picture of it, and he still got it every so often, embarrasses me with it. And there it is. I'm dust flying everywhere, you know, dirt, right? And there I'm in the follow through. You see the golf ball still on the tee. I missed it. All that to say, the world's greatest golfers, the best baseball players, whatever it is, when they are in a slump, when something's not right, you know what they do? They go back to the foundation. They go back to the basics. They go back to this is how you do the basics. And when they get that in place, everything changes. They'll go back and look at old film. Ah, you adjusted this. It's the fundamentals, isn't it? The world's greatest players. I mean, you'll have tennis players. It boggles my mind. They'll have a 3-4-hour match one day. 2 days later, they're going to have another match. You know what they do on the day off? They practice. What are they practicing? They practice. Here, I was a serious drummer as a teenager. I still play pretty well, but I don't get to play much. But I first started playing organ when I was 5 and a half. And you know what you do? Every day when you practice, you don't just do the piece you're working on. You do scales. You do scales. Look at it spiritually, friends. Look at how far off. Look at how far off our fundamentals are in society. So we start with the fundamental of God is, the ultimate fundamental. A personal God, the creator God. He exists. He's the only eternal one. He created the universe, right? And the pinnacle of his creation, human beings, and he made us male and female and joined male and female together as one to reflect his image, to procreate, to raise family, to be his representatives in the world. mess with any of those three. Mess with the foundations of God, creation, humanity established by God, everything falls.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friend. Thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown talking about the foundations, talking about when the foundations get undone, everything else crumbles. I mean, we understand that. I'm not a builder. Nancy's been involved in some folks that have built houses for us over the years, and she understands it. She worked with an architect once when we had a house built. She understands exactly what has to happen. And so sometimes I had to get involved in talking to a builder if there was an issue. The one time specifically that she was involved specifically in the house design like this. And what happened was that the architect had laid things out, and this was, you know, 31 feet, going across and 3/4 inch, and this was 18 feet and 1/2 inch, whatever it is. And the builder decided to round things off. I don't know. What's the problem with that? Well, ultimately, you know what we had to do? And it was a terrible loss. Thankfully, God helped us recover over a period of years. It was a terrible loss. You know what we had to do? We had to bring in another builder. And he literally had to rip things out from the foundations, had to go undig from the foundations because things weren't sealed properly, and rebuild from the bottom up. It has to happen. And I want to tell you, friends, gender is an enemy. I've talked about it many times. Maybe you haven't heard me. Gender becomes the enemy. For those that advocate same-sex marriage, the redefining of marriage, for those that advocate gay activist curriculum in the school, ultimately gender becomes the enemy. Gender becomes, you're boxing people in. Has to, you know, male, female. Look, there is an article, I mentioned it, The Queer Thing Happened to America, Newsweek a couple years ago. Are we moving towards a genderless society that more and more people are identifying themselves as non-gender? Or are we moving towards a genderless society? And at the end of the article, there's a quote from a well-known gay activist, psychiatrist, and he says, look, this much we know, paraphrase, there are more than 6 billion people in the world today. Two genders are not enough. 866-34-TRUTH. To the phones, Carol in Hyattsville, Maryland. Thanks so much for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes. Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi. I was just calling because I wanted to just encourage Dr. Brown that I feel that he's doing the right thing by displaying all of these different issues that are happening in the world today, the moral and social issues. And I disagree with all of these persons or people who write in or will phone it in and criticizing this show. I haven't been listening that long, but so far, every program that I have listened to, I appreciate all of these issues that you've covered. And I think that as a Christian today, we need to be exposed to what's going on in the world. So many people don't know what's going on, and they don't want to hear the truth. And you're speaking the truth. And I just want to urge you to continue on. And I think this show is a very good show for exposing people and letting them know the things that are going on around the world today that's so immoral.
That's Carol, I appreciate you calling and sharing that. You know, the fact is, I know that overwhelmingly that people know the importance of what we're doing and stand with us. It's when people don't get it that it grieves my heart when they think we just have some kind of fixation and we're just out to get somebody or fearful, or as opposed to what are God's people supposed to do in the world? And those of us that are supposed to teach and equip and be watchmen on the wall in that sense, sound their prophetic alarm, when do you sound it, if not for times like this? And I believe, you know, we're overwhelmingly encouraged with support and words of encouragement we get, but it still boggles my mind when people will raise these things. I know people that oppose us are going to email and call and speak their opposition. I understand that, and the more of that I get, the more encouraged we're doing the right thing. But Carol, it's so odd that look, I know many times when I go out and speak to leaders, pastors and leaders, they'll say, "Thank God you're doing this, because we haven't been doing it. We haven't been speaking. We haven't been willing to raise the issues." And Carol, if you don't mind me asking this, you don't have to tell me, but can I ask how old you are?
61.
Excuse me?
61.
61.
Yeah.
Remember what the world was like? We had big issues. We had major problems in America. We had segregation. We had other inequalities and injustices. But remember kind of the family innocence that we grew up. Remember shows like Leave It to Beaver?
Yes, I do.
When did you watch any of those shows when you were a kid, Carol?
I did.
Did you think they were corny, or did they just seem like a slice of life to you?
I didn't think they were corny at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we'd watch these shows. I'd watch them with the family. These are like primetime shows. Ozzie and Harriet, Leave It to Beaver. We'd watch them, and it was a family show.
Exactly.
Now somebody watches it, and they're laughing out loud. There's no fellow in the world like that. You know, someone suggested to me years back, you know, we've gone from Ozzie and Harriet to the Osbournes. And I said, "What's the Osbournes?" And I watched part of it. I thought, no, this can't be. And yet it is. And it is like this, Carol, because the church has largely been silent and gotten this notion that you know, we get people saved and that's it. Well, again, the question, once we're saved, how do we live? So thank you, Carol, for the kind words. And by God's grace, we are moving forward louder and clearer than ever. But thank you so much.
I pray that you will continue, because we need more people like you. And there are too many people. Even I have friends and acquaintances, and I try sharing the truth with them, and I don't know. People either don't want to hear it, or they're in denial, or I don't know what. I mean, even in my age group, I don't understand it, and it's irritating.
It can be irritating. Trust me, I feel it. What we got to do is somehow, you know, do two things: pray.
Exactly.
God, open my eyes to blind spots I have. I always like to pray prayers for others that I pray for, I can pray for myself. So God, open my eyes to blind spots, and open their eyes to blind spots, and then sometimes people, either they just don't know what's happening, and
but
we need to educate
them.
But
they don't want to hear when you left to share.
Exactly. Okay, why? I totally agree with you, Carol. Why don't people want to hear?
Because they want to continue to live in their life. Because I was there one time, and I'm not calling this out as though I'm perfect or anything, but I was there at one time. I can remember the times when I didn't want to hear, because I just wanted to continue doing what I wanted to do. And I knew if I heard it, it would make me feel guilty. And, you know, to continue doing, you know, make me feel guilty or put me on a guilt trip. So I didn't want to hear it at the time. I said, well, maybe later on.
Yeah.
And so I feel that that's pretty much where people are comfortable in their sins, or people are just comfortable doing what they've been used to doing.
Yeah, and Carol, you're right. Many times, let me stick my head in the sand and not be bothered, not be convicted, not feel responsible. I remember many years ago, I was afraid to watch a pro-life video. It was The Silent Scream when it came out. I was afraid to watch it. I wanted to watch it, but I was afraid that if I watched it, my heart would be so broken, I would have to do even more for pro-life. So, you know, hey, ignorance is bliss, but no, ignorance is deception. So, Carol, thanks. I know you'll be praying for us, and together we're going to make a difference, because voices will be heard. Voices will be heard.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. God bless you. I appreciate that. 866-34-TRUTH. Lynette in Wyandanch, I guess on Long Island. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, and thank you for recognizing that that's on Long Island.
Yeah, well, I grew up on Long Island, so I remember the names.
God bless you. I just wanted to... in agreement with what the previous sister mentioned, it is so refreshing to hear your program and to hear the issues that you address so articulately. And I just wanted to encourage you to continue. And also, I was full agreement with what you mentioned before about the Me Too present God in a balanced, and the things of God in a balanced way, the love of God and also the fear of God. And I think that part of the problem that we have nowadays is that we expect to be saved and then somehow check our brains in at the door and not obey the scripture. It tells us that we are supposed to love God with all of our being. That includes with all of our minds. And a lot of people are, I think, too lazy to really think as a Christian and think biblically. And so I really appreciate your program. And I also appreciate that you asked for prayer. I know so many Christian leaders that encourage prayer for everything and everything else, everyone else, but they don't do what the Apostle Paul did and so many others, ask for prayer for themselves.
Yeah. You know what, Lynette?
They're out there on the front lines and they don't get the prayer.
Thanks for raising that. On the other side of the break, keep listening because I want to address that very issue. I got an insight about it some years ago. Thanks for the call, the encouragement.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, I want to get back to the phones, but two things quickly. 866-34-TRUTH online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Two quick things. One, just following through on what Lynette mentioned about being glad that I asked for prayer. Do you know, Lynette, that I was very hesitant to do that for years? Now, I'm the founder of our community here, of our leadership team at FIRE, but I'm only one of a number of leaders, and our guys are constantly out ministering, doing things, and then we've got all of our grads, missionaries around the world and around America doing things. So it felt like I was kind of drawing attention to myself, like, pray for me, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And it almost felt selfish or lacking humility. And then I realized it was the exact opposite. God convicted me through the word about it. And you're exactly right, Lynette. Paul asked for prayer over and over and over and over. So if my eyes were on self, then of course it was selfish. But if my eyes were on the purposes of God, it was the opposite. You know, it'd be like there are troops, army troops, they are cut off from communication. They're going to be killed soon by advancing troops unless they can get help. There is no way out. The only hope is that one of the soldiers can cut through the enemy lines and get back to a place to get a communique out to get the other soldiers rescued. And he says, all right, pray for me, guys. Pray. It's not about him. It's not about that he can say, look at what I did. I'm going to get a medal. No. It's for everybody. If he dies, they all die. So praying for the success of his mission is praying for everyone's well-being. I'm not on radio for me. Our team does not have me on radio for me. I'm on radio for the Lord and for you. Oh, I love doing it. I enjoy doing it. But my success is your success. To the extent my voice can be heard, your voices can be heard. To the extent I can stand in it and equip you, the work is done. As I ask you to pray for me as I write this Jewish outreach book, to the extent those prayers are answered and I'm able to do it, Jewish people will come to the kingdom. So, Lynette, thanks for that, because it was actually, I would say, a blind spot I had in terms of hesitancy, especially in our community, because I'm not the only one out there doing things. We've got so many of our team members out there doing things, and yet it's selfish if I don't ask for prayer. Okay, before I go to the phones, last Wednesday, the second hour, first hour, Dr. Frank Turek and I were on. Many of you may have heard that. And then the second hour, we had a debate, dialogue with gay activist Mitchell Gold. And either through his organization or other gay activist organizations, whatever, a certain email address in our ministry was given out. That's a public address. It wasn't private, so it's 100% good what they did. Legit. We wanted to hear from people. But we started getting emails to that one particular address. So Randy, who was getting them, told me, oh, this is not the normal way they would come in through the website. So then we realized, okay, great. So that's wonderful. That's how they gave them out. Well, I'm reading some of them. It's like, I've been listening to you for a long time, but I agree with you on most issues, but I'm never going to listen again. Or, you know, you've made good points, but you turned me off today. Or I was on the fence. And I'm a committed Christian, but now I'm absolutely standing for gay marriage. And I'm reading these thinking, something's phony here. Something's fishy here. And it's sure enough, I just happened to know through some inside information. Sure enough, some are from the same person. Others were from, you know, someone openly gay, but right, you know, just telling us I'm a Presbyterian elder and so on. So it's just as I thought reading them. I can't say every one of them, but a number, just exactly what, because it was too bogus. It was too bogus. It was too obvious. So if you're going to do that, just do a better job next time, or better still, tell the truth. First time I ever listened to you, and I think you're a jerk. Say it, as opposed to, I've listened for a long time, and I. And just today you discovered where I stood. 866-34-TRUTH. Our friend Chaplain Viviana in Brooklyn, how you doing today?
Hey, Michael. Talk about being on the forefront of history. We're fighting the battle, as many people know, about making sure that houses of worship retain access. And I wanted to give some information to those that are listening, you know, that there's going to be a prayer time tomorrow at 8 a.m. in front of the Department of Education, 52 Chambers. I'm going to email this to you, Michael, so that you'll have it on the website, that at 9:30 there's a press conference at City Hall Steps in Manhattan, just raising the issue again. And then there's going to be a...
Tell our listeners what issue you're talking about.
This is the Board of Education and the mayor wants to evict houses of worship from using the schools, public schools, on a weekend. Many other organizations like AA and school groups and precinct meetings, all of that takes place in these schools, but all of a sudden they want to exclude houses of worship, which is not giving them equal access. But the body of Christ is raising up. There were 2,000 of us Christians on Sunday,
praise God,
and many more praying at home. Those who couldn't come went over and marched over the Brooklyn Bridge and then stood praying and discussing this in front of City Hall on Sunday.
By the way, were any folks involved in the parade that would not be your typical conservative Christian leaders?
There were. One of my friends said that, you know, this was interesting to me, and I wanted to know why you were. As a matter of fact, one of my friends, Chaplain Desiree, said that there was an agnostic that joined the crowd, and he just wanted to see what was going on.
Yeah, I only raise it, because I'm just short on time. I just got to jump in, but I only raise that to say a lot of people realize this is, as would be said, this just ain't right. And you know, the big thing to me, Chaplain, is, look, we could meet in houses. We could meet in streets. Some of the churches growing fastest around the world do that. But this is just religious discrimination, bigotry. There is no good reason for this whatsoever. And it's a lack of recognition of the good that the churches do in different communities. And the biggest thing to me, though, is it wakes people up. See, in other words, we could meet in houses. There's no need to now. But we could. The fact of the matter is, this wakes us up. This gets people stirred. This gets people saying, let's stand up. Let's take it to the streets every day. Take it to the streets every day. Hey, thank you for being faithful on the front line. Send that note to our ministry so we can have the details. And God bless you. Sorry I got to run, but it's always good to hear from you on the front lines of New York. Friends, I appreciate the calls, the words of encouragement. And I'm not in the least discouraged. The more opposition I get, the more encouraged I am. I'm doing the right thing. But I want you to remember that our voice being on the air makes a difference. And the absence of our voice on the air would leave a big void in many, many ways. So stand with us. We have the special grant. We'll keep telling you about it these next days. A special grant that for every dollar that comes in, it becomes $1.50. Up to $40,000 gift to our ministry. So we've got major radio obligations to meet. And as we meet those, expansion opportunities. But we need to hear from you. Together, I mean that. That means you and me. Together, we're making a difference. So give us a call, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Online, you can donate at AskDrBrown.org. My bottom line today, let us relay the ultimate foundation of the one true God who created all things and to whom we must give account, the sustainer of life, the sustainer of our very breath, the author of everything good. Put him first, make him central. Everything else will fall into place. Psalm 11 says, when the foundations are destroyed, what will the righteous do? Friends, it's time to rebuild, relay those foundations.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
What a joy to be with you today on The Line of Fire, spoken as always from my heart. I hope you can hear the smile on my face and the joy in my spirit being with you on the air. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Foundations, foundations, foundations. We talked about yesterday on the program, or Tuesday, teaching-oriented emphasis, opening up the Word, looking at scriptural foundations. We talked about how error comes in, a contemporary gospel deception, when we lose sight of biblical foundations, a simple foundation being Jesus came to save us from our sins, not in our sin, but from our sins. And that liberty is not liberty to sin, but liberty from sin. Simple foundation like that. Last night in night school here in Concord, right outside of Charlotte, talked about the error of an overemphasis on the love of God without the fear and reverence of God. You can never overemphasize God's love if you talk about his love in the context of who he is. But a foundational imbalance, in many cases, it's the opposite, an underemphasis on God's love that creates unhealthy believers. But we're looking at foundations today, Wednesday, focusing on the world. We're looking at foundations that have to do with moral and cultural issues, foundations that affect our society as a whole. I was in India. Nancy and I were there on one of our early trips to India. In fact, it was our first trip. And there was a building being built, and we were going to be on the road for 2 weeks. And when we came back, they said, oh, it'll be ready. There'll be weddings here. There are going to be several weddings held at the same time. You know, all arranged weddings, but Indian style. They're going to be weddings with some of the ministry school students that are graduating, or and going to be having weddings as well. And we said, this building is going to be ready in 2 weeks for a wedding. And they said, yes, brother, we built to go six foundations high, six stories high. What do you mean? Well, depending on how high you want to build, that's how deep you have to go. All right, made sense, but I didn't know that personally, not being a builder. And in my Semitic studies at NYU, I didn't learn that. And growing up the son of a Jewish lawyer on Long Island, I didn't learn that. Neither, this may surprise you. You may just lose all respect for me right now. But I don't know how to skin a fish. Or gut a fish, or whatever you do with a fish. I don't know how to hunt. Or skin a deer, whatever you do with a deer. You're like, oh, man. Scale a fish. That's it. Are you messing with me, Joey, just to try to make me look bad on radio? Okay, I just proved my point. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to scale a fish. I could weigh a fish on a scale. I don't eat fish either, even though it's healthy. I don't. Back on track, despite these interruptions from our team here. The fact is, I don't know about building. And we came back two weeks later. At some days, they had 600 people total working out. I mean, just a flood, almost like ants, a flood of people coming in, working on this. Well, when the building was done, I mean, it was not done the way we would think done. It was completely open. But I've been there now every year, 19 years, over a period of 19 years, and that's a five-story building. I've sometimes stayed on the top floor in a little room there. It's a five-story building. The fact is, if the foundation's deep enough and solid enough, you can build higher. Foundations are faulty. The whole thing is going to collapse. That's what's happened in our society. We have not built the foundations of the reality of who God is and what he stands for and how we must live before him into our society as a whole. Because of that, we're in the midst of moral societal collapse.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, a lot of us like the talk, the moral, cultural, spiritual revolution, but when the rubber meets the road, that means us, you and me, living this thing out, not just in the church building, not just in the confines of our home, but on the streets, in our neighborhoods, in places of business, in social settings, and speaking from the pulpits and in our home Bible studies in such a way that God's people are equipped and we go out and make the difference. Someone did ask the question on my Facebook page, really to my surprise, you know, why are you spending so much time on homosexual issues? Well, hang on. We spend time on lots and lots of issues. We hit things from lots and lots of angles. But the Lord gave me an assignment, reach out and resist, reach out to the people with compassion, resist gay activism with courage. Therefore, it's part of what we do. And it is the principal threat to religious freedom, freedom of conscience, freedom of speech in America. And it is the principal undermining force in terms of male-female distinctives and values within our school system being undone. And it goes across the board. You sound the alarm when there's a need to sound the alarm. Someone raised this question, you know, shouldn't we just be leading people to Christ? Well, by God's grace, that's a lot of what we do. I'm consumed now day and night writing a book to reach my fellow Jews with the gospel. I'm hoping to be the single most effective tool I've ever put out in my life for reaching Jewish people with the good news of Jesus. I'm working on it day and night, around the clock. With joy. What a privilege to do it. And I covet your prayers, even if it's just lifting up a one-minute prayer that God would bless and anoint, help me to meet pressing deadlines and write a book that'll change thousands, minimum thousands, multiplied, countless thousands. How's that? So there's no minimum of Jewish lives. And we've got our missionaries all around the world we've raised up and sent out. And when I go out around the world and preach, I'm not going to India to preach about homosexual issues. That being said, someone else asked the question when this was posted on a Facebook page, once you lead people to Christ, then what? Oh, the Great Commission is to go and make disciples of the nations, is it not? How do disciples live? People tell me, look, man, you got it all wrong. See, buddy, you got it all wrong. Society will change as we lead more people to Jesus. No, it's not. Say, wait. That's heresy, brother. You just spoke heresy. Because that's the key, is the Great Commission. Hang on, I didn't speak heresy. What I said was if we, meaning the church in general, is leading people to Jesus the way we're doing it, the world's changing us. We're not changing the world. Here, let me give you an analogy. 866-34-TRUTH. This is a basic of the basics. This is another foundation, making disciples. How do we as believers live? And if you differ with me, let me know. And if you feel or it's important for our voice to be on the air saying these things that someone needs to say and you're glad I'm doing it, give me a call. Let me know. We're always glad to hear that. And then you speak for many other callers. Just like I'm a voice for you, you're a voice for other callers, other listeners. 866-34-TRUTH. And if you differ with me, please let me know. I'm going to give you an analogy in a moment. Just came to mind. I'm going to give it to you in a moment. But last week at this time, Frank Turek and I were having a debate dialogue with gay activist Mitchell Gold, after which I got a bunch of emails sent to one particular public address with our ministry, but not the normal one through which emails come. And I was sent a summary of the responses to the show, and I said to Randy, who gets the emails, I said, send them to me. I want to see all of them. So he sent them all to me in a few batches, and I read some of them, and I thought, no, he's not telling, this is bogus. This is bogus. Tell a bogus email when I read it. I've listened to you for a long time. I agree with you on lots and lots of things, but on this, you turned me off, and I'm never going to listen again. I thought, because you've been listening to me for a long time. then you've heard me talk about these things many a time and give my answers and give my reasons why, and scripturally and for societal reasons and moral reasons. You've heard me reach out in love as well to those who differ with me. I thought, I mean, I read it on the air when it came in, if I remember. You said you've been listening for a long time. Initially, I'll give the benefit of the doubt, but uh-uh. Well, I can't tell you how I know, but it's bogus. It's bogus. I'm just telling you that, okay? You know, I've been on the fence for a long time. I'm a committed Christian. I believe homosexual practices, and I've been on the fence for a long time, but after I listened to your show, now I know you're wrong, and I support same-sex marriage. I thought, that did not happen. That didn't happen. Oh, maybe it happened to somebody out there somewhere that's deeply confused, okay? But that's bogus. Sure enough, it's a letter from an openly gay man who's, you know, a Presbyterian elder, whatever. Now, whatever he is or isn't, God knows that in terms of does he have church involved or not. If you're going to write, just be honest. Okay, some people just blast at me and I think you're a jerk and an idiot and I'm an atheist and you should go away and never come back kind of thing. Okay, fine. Don't write these bogus emails. I mean, you know what they do? They make your side look bad is what they do. They make your side look like the only communication weapons you have are deceit and falsehood. That's how it makes it look. I'm just telling you. Just telling you. From the heart. So let me give you an analogy. Society is terribly unfit, okay? And by the way, that is not in any way an exaggeration. Society unfit. We got a lot of obesity. We've got a lot of heart disease that's due to obesity and other health-related problems that we bring on ourselves. God forbid you think I'm saying everyone with heart disease has brought it on themselves. But we have. So what's the solution? We need to get everyone a membership in the gym. That'll do it. I've just solved the problem. We get everyone a membership in the gym. No, that will not make health issues go away. That will not make obesity go away. That will not make heart disease go away that we brought on ourselves. That will not improve the overall health of the community because having a membership at the health club doesn't do you any good. Unless you work out regularly and change your diet and your lifestyle. We all know that. So what I'm saying is the type of gospel that we preach these days and the way people, quote, get saved when it doesn't really affect the moral quality of the life, when we have terrible pornography addiction in the church and outside the church, we have rampant no-fault divorce inside the church and outside the church, when we have large numbers of abortions with our Christian young ladies on college campuses, supposedly in the church, and similar stats in the world, we look at that, and obviously something is terribly wrong. So it's not a matter of if we just lead people to Christ, society will change. No, if we make disciples. Now, if you want to tell me, all right, brother, these are a lot of false conversions and so on, and okay, I accept that. I accept that. Or there are superficial conversions that people are just starting in the faith and they're babes and they're not growing. And okay, but so why am I saying this? I'm saying this to say it comes down to us who are saved. How do we live? How do we live? How are you living? How am I living? Getting saved, getting a right relationship with God that deals with my sins, that deals with my separation from Him, that grants me eternal life to be with the Lord forever. Now the question is, what am I going to do with my life now that I am here? Is the world going to change me or will I change the world? Will I hide the light that God has given me? Will I dim and dull the light that God has given me or completely snuff it out? Or will I go into dark places and shine? Being on the air, speaking to you through radio, is a way that I can shine light into moral darkness, shine light into moral confusion. It still boggles my mind that so many fundamental issues are up for grabs in the body, that the most simple truths are up for grabs in the body, that we have this level of biblical illiteracy. So the foundation of all foundations is what? It's not a doctrine. I'm not talking about a doctrine. I'm talking about worldwide. What is the most foundational truth? Number one truth. Where do we start? The number one truth. What is it? God. Correct? That's where it all starts. God. God is not an impersonal deity who set the universe going and stepped out of it, but a personal, loving Father, a holy, good, just God created the universe. He is the first cause. He is the uncreated first cause through which everything else comes into being. Our great, mighty, infinite, amazing God. That's where it starts. Foundation of all foundations. You get God out of the picture. You secularize society and make it more and more the world without God. You bring destruction on society. Number one foundation, God exists. Number two, he's the creator. Number three, the pinnacle of his creation, made in his own image, human beings, and he made them male and female and established them to be together. Those are the foundations of all foundations. Friends, those get messed with, and they're under constant assault these days, atheism, anti-creationism, and the assault on male-female gender, distinctions, marriage. You see where we are, friends. We'll be back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, so somebody tell me where this mentality comes from. Would somebody please enlighten me? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Somebody please enlighten me and tell me where we got this notion that we're not supposed to impact the world, that we as believers are not supposed to make an impact on the world where we live, that we as believers are not to be difference makers. Could someone please tell me? Oh, I it's a rhetorical question. I understand where it comes from, but I'm still asking the question because it's so bogus and bizarre. No, I am not saying the main thing we should do is be political activists. In fact, I'm not thinking politics. We vote. We should vote in an informed way. Politicians, right up to the White House and our local reps, make a big difference. And there's all kinds of effect on the society. But that's not where my focus is. By the way, have you noticed Mr. Obama gave a State of the Union address last week? Wasn't a topic on this broadcast, was it? Florida primaries. Big win for Mitt Romney, Republican, wasn't a topic. Oh, I'll address these issues when I feel it's appropriate. This is not a political talk show. This is not a conservative talk show. I'm not talking politics. Those you call to politics, go for it. Then all of us should act in an informed way and we should pray. But a question for you. Are we called as believers to care for the needy? Are we called to feed the poor, to clothe the hungry, to do acts of compassion and engage in those things? Are we called to that? Would you all say, yeah, every one of us? I mean, and even here's what's interesting. The world expects that of us. The world thinks, how come you're not doing this? If you're the church, how come you're not doing this? One of my friends, a pastor here in Charlotte, was just talking about when we get involved with gospel imperatives, when we go into a neighborhood and reach out, And we go in a neighborhood. One church in South Carolina, the dear brother I work out with on a regular basis, he was part of that church for years and just planted a new work here in Charlotte as an extension of the church. This particular church, they start an outreach in an area. As I understand it, they go in and they send in a team and they just clean the place, do whatever they can to clean up or fix up a building, you know, paint or whatever. They clean the place. And then I think they come back a second time. And they just have barbecues and things like that and feed people. And then they come back a third time and share the gospel. And then once they get involved in people's lives, they keep helping. They have job markets for people. It's a big church, but a lot of people unemployed, so they have job markets. They have programs to feed poor. They have busing programs to help needy kids and on and on and on. Well, the world expects us to do that. And my friend here in Charlotte was saying when we go out and do good works in the society— when we go out and do good works in the society, that people see that we are following up with our values, that we are living these things out, that we are doing what they expect Christians to do. Okay, so why is that acceptable and something we should be doing? But when it comes to justice, we turn a deaf ear? Okay, let's just say we live back in the days of segregation here in America, and there's bigotry being practiced. Let's just say that's going on. Let's just say it's in the days of fountains here for whites only and in the back for coloreds. Or get off, you know, get out of your seat and go to the back of the bus because I sit in the front. I'm white, you're not. Those horrific things are going on. Is the church supposed to do anything? Is the church supposed to say anything? Well, no, we just lead people to cry. What nonsense? So we live in the midst of injustice. We live in the midst of public humiliation of fellow human beings, and in many cases, fellow brothers and sisters, and we don't do anything? You know, when Jesus rebuked the religious leaders, religious hypocrites, in Matthew chapter 23, know what he said there? It's very interesting, and this verse struck me as a picture of often a lot of what we do in the church world. Listen to what he said to some of the religious leaders who were hypocrites. What do you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites? Now, he wasn't calling all Pharisees hypocrites or all teachers of the law hypocrites. He was addressing the hypocrites among them, just like he could say, what are you clergy, you hypocrites? You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin. So you tithe even beyond the required letter of the law. But you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel. So he says, yeah, it's good. It's good that you practice this. It's good that you tithe diligently. It's good that you went above and beyond the letter of the law to give, to tithe. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former, the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You got kids being killed by abortion. Where's mercy? Where's justice? You've got people, children sold into sex trafficking. Where's mercy? Where's justice? Faithfulness? You've got soaring crime rates in the inner city because of lack of help that families need and lack of discipleship within families and other whatever the other problems are, or the injustice that leads to crime and back and forth and the whole vicious cycle. The injustice that helps increase crime in many ways. Where's justice, mercy, and faithfulness? You mean we're supposed to live in the middle of the world with sin going on all around us, and our only job is to just tell people about Jesus? If we tell them about Jesus, everything will change. It won't change unless we make disciples, unless we show people how to live and make a difference. And it comes down to this idea, the way someone put it when they were teaching at Fire School during a seminar at one time, evangelical Gnosticism. What was Gnosticism? Gnosticism was an early belief. It goes back to the earliest days of the church. It's possible it even existed before, but certainly in the early days of the church, you have it in early Christian Jewish days. It was a super spiritual teaching that drew many people away into deception and made a fundamental distinction between body and spirit. It made a fundamental distinction saying that the material world was evil, that in fact Jesus did not physically die on the cross, that his spirit entered into his life at a certain point and then left the divine spirit because the physical earthly is carnal. In fact, God himself that created the universe, you know, that's a lower God. The Father of Jesus is separated. So this lower God kind of emanated out of the good Father God, because he had to create the universe, and the universe itself, material, physical, and therefore defective. So if it's physical, material, it's not spiritual. This is a heresy. It's a heresy that deceived many people in the early church. And we have a kind of equivalent, an evangelical Gnosticism, that if it's touching this physical world somehow it's not spiritual. What a messed up way of thinking. Friends, we're doing this again because of good response. If you don't yet have a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America, if you want to get it to a friend, what an urgent book to get into people's hands. The book, plus my two-hour video debate with Rabbi Shmuley, about a $50 value with postage, just $30. postage paid, and I'll sign the book to whoever you ask. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. I've got a shocker, plus good news when we come back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
In the beginning, God. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, God created. God, the first cause of all things. I don't mean he causes evil. I mean the universe exists by his command. The question that people ask, someone just asked me when I was out getting dinner the other night, Gausdorff was reading something and asked me a question, and then the question of who created God, I remember asking that question as a little kid. Many atheists will ask it, and a serious question to them, of course, what we understand is that everything material, everything that exists, that had a beginning, had to be created. Our very definition and understanding of God is that he is the one self-sufficient spiritual being who always was. Something had to always be, right? So he is the one who, by definition, always was, and he creates all things. He creates the universe. And he is the foundation for everything. He's the foundation for morality. He's the foundation for truth. He's the foundation for love. He's the ultimate foundation of all. We take God out of the picture, we secularize society, and everything else crumbles and falls apart. Ultimately, our reasoning with secular society about moral issues, our reasoning about why abortion is wrong, our reasoning about why it is wrong to redefine marriage, our reasoning about many, many other issues can only go so far. And when there is no consciousness of God or belief in the God of the Scriptures, everything is ultimately up for grabs because it's based on what I think, what I feel, what I believe. We're talking about foundations of spiritual truth that then affect the entire world. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I've got a good report to share with you. I shared it last hour, but I want to share it with you again this hour. But I want to also sound the alarm as well. Like, no one likes the sound of the alarm. I'm talking about a physical alarm goes off by your bedside. As much as I know it's coming, I may open my eyes a few minutes before the alarm goes off and say, all right, alarm's going off. No, it still startles me. Sorry if I startled you while driving. It still shocks me. That's what an alarm does. But it's necessary because we can't just go on sleeping. But bottom line, foundation of all foundations, God. God exists. Second foundation, he's the creator. Third foundation, the pinnacle of his creation, human beings, and he made us male and female, and then brought us together as one in marriage and to reflect his image. You mess with those, everything else crumbles. Everything else crumbles. So there's a massive attack in our society on belief in God. Is there not so-called new atheists? More aggressive attack on belief in God than I can remember in my lifetime. Maybe it's happened before, but it's got my attention much more in recent years. That's number one. Number two, attack on any notion of God the creator. I'm not debating new earth, old earth, anything. I'm just saying the idea that God is the ultimate creator, that constant attack as humanistic evolutionary thinking continues to dominate as a stronghold that will not be challenged. And then, and I say will not be, will not allow itself to be. Of course it will be. And then thirdly, the foundation of male, female, he created them. And the two become one. When those foundations get tampered with, we see the chaos that's in the society. And those foundations get tampered with because we have not adequately laid those foundations among God's people. Martha Boggs in Tennessee is being praised and hailed and written up. I'm looking at it right up in Huffington Post, Gay Voices, Michelangelo Signorelli, an article on this. She is getting praised for her actions. The owner of a Knoxville, Tennessee eatery says refusing to serve Tennessee GOP State Senator Stacey Canfield last Sunday was a kind of spur-of-the-moment gut reaction to remarks he made about gays and AIDS, and felt that it was important to stand up for the gay community and everybody else who has ever been bullied by a bully like Stacey Canfield. So what does she do? A discriminatory act She bullies and says, I'm not going to serve you. Oh, what if it was reversed? What outrage across the nation. Am I telling the truth?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Can I ask you, friends, again to join me in prayer and to pray for me as I'm writing a book, Stirred On, Moved On by the Lord, 2 weeks ago today in late prayer, 2:30 in the morning or so. I was just on the floor in a room where I was praying in our home where I'd go to pray, and doubled over praying just with a tremendous burden, and felt the Lord clearly lay on my heart something I needed to do with Jewish outreach ministry, right? And then the next morning I woke up and understood it was a book and I was to get it written quickly. I've experienced a lot of grace. I've probably written 135 good quality pages so far in, 13 days. I've got a deadline to get this finished in the next 10 days for a special publication we're going to put out. So pray for me, would you, that the Lord would enable me to get this finished, and you will be the first to hear about it as we have more details. So thank you for praying. 866-34-TRUTH. Does it bother you that I'm raising these issues on the air? Do you wish I'd just maybe do an edifying study of a book of the Bible one time, or just use this program to do gospel preaching? We play some of my best outreach messages, and just don't talk about these social issues. Don't talk about how we should be living in the world. Just don't, Mike. It's a nuisance. It's off track. It's out of the spirit. Someone criticized me on my Facebook page. It's just funny that they'd be there as either a friend or fan. And so-called fan, it's just the way you have to say it on Facebook, that they would be there and telling me, you know, why do you focus on these issues so much? Just lead people to Christ. Well, we're leading people to the Lord by God's grace. We're raising up people to lead people to the Lord. But leading people to Jesus without making disciples doesn't bring about change. As I asked earlier in the broadcast, in the first half hour of this hour, getting people membership in a gym doesn't do them any good unless they work out and change their lifestyle and their diet. The same way you get someone, you pray with someone, you say, well, that'll change it. Well, if they're not discipled, if a baby's birthed and just left there without being nurtured, that baby's not going to make it. God saves some people in the most sovereign ways and they go on fine on their own, and then they get joined to a body years later when they're around other people. But the Great Commission is going to make disciples. So, okay, now that we're saved, now that we're changed, now that we're believers, how do we live? Wasn't that the old book years back? I mean, old in terms of in my lifetime, How Then Should We Live? Francis Schaeffer asking these fundamental questions. And we see many of the things that he and others predicted with prophetic insight a few decades ago. And we're talking 20, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, about the post-Christian era that we're moving into in America. You know the one thing that's strange, though, with it, is we've got still so much gospel activity swirling, so much church attendance, so many Bibles, you know, new translations, and that every kind of software, and we got Bibles on our iPhones and our iPads, and what I don't use, you know, but your Android phone, and everywhere. And as someone said years ago, and it's gotten much more extreme now in my lifetime, American Christianity is 3,000 miles wide and 1 foot deep. American Christianity is 3,000 miles wide and 1 foot deep. Someone called me, wrote to me, I forget, years back, and they said to me, that is a terrible exaggeration. It's not that deep. 866-34-TRUTH. So I ask you a question. Do you think we're off track emphasizing things like this? Do you think I'm missing my calling in God to sound an alarm? and to talk about what's happening to our freedoms of speech and freedoms of conscience and religious freedoms and what's happening to our kids. And it's go, okay, that's it. Yeah, I will stop talking about what's happening to our kids in schools. Why bother you? You're busy. You probably need encouragement, going through a hard time. Economy's tough for many. Maybe, yeah, I'm just going to encourage. Well, we will call this now. We will change it. All right, guys, go right to work. We got to change this. No longer your voice of moral, cultural, spiritual evolution. We will call this the Pep Talk Hour. The Pep Talk Happy Hour with your happy host, Happy Mike. Hey, are you happy? Let's be happy. Look at the person next to you and say, I'm happy. We're happy. You're happy. I'm happy. Come on. You can make it. Come on. You can do it. Come on. You're a champion. Oh, I'm all for encouragement. You hang with me, you'll be encouraged. You listen to this broadcast regularly, you'll be encouraged. In fact, encourage, there you hear the word courage. You know, one of the gifts in my life and the callings on my life is to infuse people with courage to go do it and to infuse people with hope to go do it. Someone emailed, they called. It was a caller. On Monday, I believe, I encouraged folks who listened to the debate, the dialogue debate that Frank Turek and I had with Mitchell Gold, gay activist Mitchell Gold, and we got a bunch of emails, and I had my staff send a note back saying I personally saw the emails and would love for those people to call in and talk with me. Please call in, talk with me. And we asked specially for them to call yesterday, and a number did. And someone said, look at the fruit that you're producing and ask yourself, since we're to be judged by the fruit we're producing, look at the fruit. I said, oh, thank God. I look at the fruit. Here, one fellow posted on our Ask Dr. Brown Facebook page, I was just listening to your January 30th broadcast with that caller questioning you about the fruits that come from your ministry and your opposition to gay marriage. I thought I'd just let you know that since discovering your ministry a few months ago, specifically your interview regarding A Queer Thing on Dr. James White's webcast, with the combined influence of buying and reading your book and listening to your podcast over the past few months, I'm much better equipped now to address this issue in a way that is loving and compassionate the way Jesus would. I'm also much better informed about the facts about gay marriage, too, so God bless you very much for the good work that you do. That he says in parentheses with a smile, I'm still a Calvinist, though. So I post it back. Thanks, Nathan, for the good word. As for being a Calvinist, well, God gave you free will, so that's your choice. So just had a little fun there. But friends, the fact of the matter is, it is a sacred calling on us to make a difference, to relay the foundations of truth based on who God is, not to force everyone to believe in God, but to make clear that all truth, morality, virtue flows from him, and to model that and raise that up in our society. 866-34-TRUTH. Pat in Philadelphia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, sir. Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome.
Hello.
You're on the air, sir.
Yes. Thank you for having me on. I am interested in what you said, and, you know, there's 40... God spoke to 40 people in the Bible, and not one of them was a homosexual. There are 66 books. I don't know where God ever, you know, spoke to a homosexual. And I have a grandson, and I would not like it if he was a homosexual, and because there's no life in it. You know, I want him to meet a woman and have great children. I only have one grandson. It would be the end of me. Not only would he be dead, he'd be finished. Just like I'd be dead. Everybody that came before me would be dead. All the people that brought him here, would be finished.
Pat, the fact is, he could. We'll talk about someone else, okay? Uriah could have a grandson, and the person could have same sex attraction. So I would be more devoted if that was a grandson, granddaughter, or child of mine. I would be more devoted to that person than I'd ever been. I would be so much more involved in their lives than I ever could, and be the number one example of love, compassion, kindness, goodness, and absolutely let them know that they were my kid, grandkid, not just as much as ever, but more than ever. And I love them, and I'm there for them, and I believe that God can have great hope, purpose for their life, to give them hope in God. And look, someone could say, well, look, you know, I'm 75 years old. I'm a very happy gay person. I haven't died of AIDS or anything. I've been in a solid relationship with another man for 30 years, and we're both happy. But we both know, Pat, that God has a better way. And we both know that God didn't design us for that. And we both know, we talked about a few days ago, just something as simple as a family tree, like you're talking about. It everything now breaks down because you just, what's normal, what's natural, what's intended by the Lord, what's best for everyone doesn't exist. And what we have to do is tell everyone, Pat, there is hope in the Lord for a blessed life. If we simply say, here I am, everything I have, every desire I have, we all do this, whoever we are, everything I have, everything in me, Lord, I give unconditionally over to you. And I say, Lord, make me what you want me to be. Use me how you want me to be. And by your grace, I'll live a life pleasing to you. We take God out of the picture, though, man. Everything collapses. Hey, grace to you there. And Philly Pat, thanks for the call. Okay, bunch of calls on hold. I will do my best to get to as many calls as I can. I got some good news to share with you. I'll do it briefly when we come back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, wait. I have a problem. Angry callers are calling, but only want to talk to Andrew, who's our first-line call screener, and won't talk to me. I have a problem with that. I want you to talk to me on the air, so everyone can hear what you have to say. Plus, Andrew's a nice guy. He didn't do anything to you. But seriously, don't call and dump on him. Call and dump on me. As long as you don't use profanity, which you get bleeped out anyway, as long as you don't use profanity, you're welcome to share your views here. You've got to get to the point because we don't have endless time. And if I differ with you, I'll differ with you respectfully. But what good does it do to call and dump on a call screener? Who does that help? It doesn't do your cause any good, doesn't do my cause any good, doesn't do our listeners any good. So if you're going to call and gripe, if you're going to pick up the phone to make the call, get all the way through. In fact, I do my best to get dissenting views on first when I can. Try to be fair to everyone. But I try to get dissenting views on first. Now, look, I just got an email about Lithuanian man fined for homophobic comment, homophobic Facebook post about Lady Gaga, and pinkpaper.com, this was sent to me. The guy gets fined. Well, this is what he posted. What we need is another Hitler to exterminate those F-A-G-S's. Spell it so it doesn't offend those. What we need is another Hitler to exterminate those F-A-G-S's because there's just too many of them multiplying. You don't, that's outrageous. That's outrageous. Call for another Hitler to exterminate anyone? That's an outrage that needs to be condemned. Now, whether it's legitimate to fine someone like that, as long as they would fine him if he put any other category there, that's fine. But that's an outrage. That is horrific. I utterly, absolutely denounce that. I also denounce what happened to Julia Ward. Counseling student at Eastern Michigan University, Christian woman, husband a pastor, was told she needed to affirm someone's homosexual relationship in counseling. Said, well, I can't do that as a Christian, so what do I do? The professor said, oh, just refer it to someone else, which counselors do. You know, I'm not the best one to counsel in this situation. Fine. So someone else will. No, that wasn't acceptable. The university grilled her. They put her through an inquisition. Put her through an inquisition. I'm talking about an outrage. Mocked her beliefs. Thankfully, she's a solid Christian woman and came out of it fine, but mocked her beliefs and kicked her out of the school. And then a lower court upheld it. Thankfully, the Sixth Court of Appeals overturned it. Well, they sent it back to the court with strict instructions to fix it. And a strongly worded statement that she would have had to deny her religious beliefs to graduate from that college. And they said, tolerance is a two-way street. I will denounce every hateful word. I will denounce every hateful call against the homosexual community. And I will absolutely denounce intolerance and bigotry and bullying from the homosexual community. And I will absolutely oppose redefining marriage and putting gay activist curriculum into schools. I will absolutely oppose that in the name of what is good and what is moral and what is holy and what is just and what is loving. And those that stand with me and say, keep going, Dr. Brown, keep going, Mike, don't back down, don't step back. Trust me, I've got no intention of doing anything but forward, full gear, everything, full out, ahead. And those of you who are, wishing I would shut up, freedom of speech. If you listen to me, what you'll hear is I care about people, but I differ with an agenda that's seeking to change our society. And our society is being changed because we've lost sight of the foundations, beginning with God himself. 866-34-TRUTH. Brian in Seminole, Florida, or not Seminole, Alabama, is it?
No, Seminole, Florida.
All right, I once lived in Seminole, Alabama. If you could believe that.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
A couple things I just wanted to say real quick. You opened your show with about Christianity 3,000 miles deep and an inch wide.
Yeah, 3,000 miles, really, 3,000 miles wide and 1 foot deep.
Right. Inch deep. Right. Well, the thing is, it's really been on my heart here for our nation. And first of all, I want to thank you for being for restoration and not condemnation.
Thank you.
But as far as our nation, the Christians in this nation, you know, politically, and I'm not going to name candidates, it doesn't matter, but God help us, at least check what they are standing for. You know, we have one that's wanting to put the embassy in Jerusalem, which is awesome, and wanting to overturn the making the Catholic Church do abortions in that. That's coming, the bill that just went through. And people are voting on what the candidate can give them personally or what they believe.
Oh, yeah. Talk to me about it.
And we are in a serious, serious situation in our country right now. We don't stand up as Christians. I hear, you know, this block of Christians voted for this candidate. Again, I'm not going to name candidates, but God, Christians, please, look what the Bible says. Be holy even as I am holy. I'm not saying that that's easy. It's not. Only through Christ. But start looking at the issues, what God stands for, not what we want or what we stand for. That's
yeah, and Brian, I'm just going to jump in because we're right towards the end of the hour, but thank you for weighing in. Oh, by the way, if you do call the broadcast on a Monday or Tuesday, because of the amount of calls we get and because of the amount of issues we cover, you have to wait at least a week before you can be back on the air. There can be the rarest of exceptions. Some critical report is coming in and we'll take a call. So if you blasted me yesterday, you have to wait at least a week or two, you know, to get, if you can get back through to blast me again. But if you're calling to blast, don't just blast Andrew. Just share it here. But Brian, it always grieves me when believers vote based on their pocketbook, because for the most part, we're not starving. It's not a life and death issue for the most part with the great, 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 great majority of us. It is a selfish thing as to what's in it for me. God forbid that we vote for someone because we think that person would be good for the economy, whereas they are not clearly pro-life. They are not clearly standing for the sanctity of marriage. And also in my book, they are not clearly standing on the right side with Israel. God forbid, at least take those two. I think we should all agree on those. God forbid that we compromise there. Hey, Brian, thank you for the call. And it happens. It happens. It happens. That's why we're in the mess we're in as well, because we put carnality before conviction. All right, friends, remember, we have a limited window, and we need to hear from you to make a difference. We have a limited window to meet current radio obligations and with opportunities to expand after that. We have a generous grant from an anonymous friend of a friend of mine, up to $40,000 for every $80,000 that comes in, if you can imagine that. So a $100 gift becomes $150. Take advantage of that. Please stand with us. Your gift will be multiplied to help us be a voice to many more. And for just $30 postage paid, you can also order my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, signed to you, and our two-hour DVD debate with Rabbi Shmuley, $50 value, just $30. So call and add something in to help with that grant, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. 978-9978. My bottom line, leading people to Jesus is wonderful if we fulfill the Great Commission. Don't just lead them in a prayer. Don't just lead them in a spiritual ceremony. Make disciples of them. Disciples live differently. Once we lead someone to Jesus, then what?